Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 498 of the Riverfront, a Cincinnati Reds podcast. We are coming at you today with a bonus episode because we are feeling good. The Reds just moments ago defeated the, I want to say hated Seattle Mariners, but they're not hated at all. The oddly beloved Seattle Mariners, 6-3. They have won 3 out of 4. And we have a live podcast coming up in Cincinnati this weekend. So we wanted to get some of the crew together to talk about the game, do a little State of the Union buy, sell, or hold roundtable. But before we get into that, let's introduce this cast of characters. Up top beside me, I've got host of the Riverfront Bengals show, your friend, my friend, everybody's favorite, Joe Farsing. Joe, how the heck are you?
I'm doing really, really well, Nate. What are you doing on this beautiful Monday evening?
It was 1,000 degrees in Virginia, so I walked around and sweated for a while and then said words that my mother wouldn't be proud of and came home. Logan also joining us today is host of Late Night Reds, the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Daniel. Tim, how are you, buddy?
Well, I just got back right in the door from said Reds-Mariners game and told the wife, I got to go do this. And so couldn't miss it. Couldn't miss another chance to turn on the mics with you, crazy dudes.
Listen, what a just champion. Tim Daniel goes to the game. His wife and daughter are the good luck charms. They're like a collective 11-1 at Reds games. And then he comes here to talk about it. You just could not be luckier. Before we go too far, guys, really quick, today's episode, as always, is brought to you by SeatGeek. You guys are smart people, so you know how SeatGeek works. They help you buy your tickets as easy as possible. Just do it and use the code word Riverfront, one word, for $20 off your first purchase. There's a banner some here that I could click. Boom, look at this. Technology. If you're not watching on YouTube, you are missing out. Plus, you don't get to see our handsome mugs.
Especially Joe's.
All right. So, quick recap. I'm just going to gloss on past that.
Yes, please, let's move on.
The Reds had an important 4-game set against the Chicago Cubs. They split that one 2-2. We'll get into more detail on those in the normal show or listen to Tim's episode last night with Ben and Sydney. I don't know. There's not a ton to say about a 2-2 split. I was fully prepared to either ride the hype train or to be on the ledge ready to jump off, depending on how that series went. But they played one of the league, and they held their own, which is something they haven't done a lot lately. Then they welcome Seattle Gino Suarez, Luis Castillo, and the Seattle Mariners to Cincinnati for today's Labor Day tilt. And they won pretty convincingly outside of a couple nerve-wracking bullpen moments, 6-3 victory. The bats showed up early. The guys are kind of scoring runs right now. They're playing some lifelike ball. I dare say are the fun Reds back? Joe, let's just start there. Are the fun Reds back?
I hope so, because the Reds, who strike out about 15 times a game and are back to just the mediocre pitching, makes you actually miss the Luke Weaver days. That team hasn't been fun for the past couple weeks. we're hoping that this is an actual bounce back and not just a dead cat bounce. I think, I mean, a lot of these guys have hit, you know, are these younger players that are pushing past the rookie wall. I mean, most of these guys' seasons were done last year at this time. We're wrapping up. So, I mean, this, you understand why they've worn down, why, you know, why they've kind of been struggling, and you hope this is them kind of just getting a second win for, you know, seeing the, you know, seeing the prize at the end of the, at the bottom of the box of cereal, and, you know, and are striving to get things going again. So,
yeah, absolutely. Tim, how are you feeling? How are the vibes in the Daniel household?
You know, we talked about on the show last night, quite a bit, me, Ben, and Sydney about, sorry, that was, Northern Kentucky edumacation there. Ben, Sydney, and I, you know, kind of just discussed the strength of schedule the rest of the year. And I know we have been burned by that before, hashtag 2021. But if you can get through this Seattle series, you know, you already got one. But from there, you know, the schedule's pretty comfy until the Minnesota series in a couple weeks, and that's at GABP. So I feel pretty good. I don't think they're catching Milwaukee by any stretch of the matter. So that's a $10 bet I'm going to lose when I took him to win the Central. But I do think that it's certainly in play when you look at what they're going to against the teams they're battling for in the wild card. Like if you look at the Marlins, murder's row the next 2 weeks. All the teams are playing. Holy cow. I think they're going to fall out. And I don't really believe in the Giants. You saw that today. Justin Steele just destroyed them for the Cubs. So I think it's very in play that we get a three NL Central teams in the playoffs after everyone made fun of this division all offseason.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say the same thing. It's kind of crazy. You look around the Reds, and I think I touched on this on our last show last Thursday. The Reds are 5-5 in their last 10. Is as good or better than everybody that they are fighting right now, except for the Cubs and Phillies, the two teams atop the wild card standings. So it's not like they are scuffling while everyone else is setting the world on fire and they're going to get buried or anything like that. They just need to play a little bit better. Somehow or another, the game they win is a game started by TJ Antone.
He was awesome.
Not something that we would expect. He was unreal, and that was fantastic to see. So, as we are recording this, the Reds are tied for the last wild card spot with the Diamondbacks. They are a half game up on Miami and a full game up on the San Francisco Giants. So there are a lot of series with serious, serious playoff implications going on right now and throughout this week. And I can't wait to keep talking about it with you guys. But that's not why we're here. We are here for a little State of the Union buy, sell, hold roundtable. Just so we can get a feel for how the Reds are looking, how what we expect from them going forward into the rest of this year and the offseason, and just keep the good vibes flowing for this live show on Saturday that we are super pumped for. Speaking of live show, we should probably get into some details about that. Tim, why don't you take that one?
I will. Hey, do you want to see our handsome faces and others on Saturday at 4 p.m. at the stretch? Well, you're going to block my face as I read the off thing? God, you think you know a guy. But Saturday, 4 to 6, leading you into Reds Cardinals on Saturday. Hopefully, 100 Green is off the COVID list and back by then. Fingers crossed. But, you know, we're going to have that. Joe and Greg are going to be hyping up the Bengals season as is week one eve that day. For the Bengals, who are currently 2.5-point favorites, go to Cleveland to take on the Brownies. And then Ben and I will be there. We'll have some guests like Jeff Carr, my evil twin. And then James Rapine is going to come hang out and talk about the Bengals with everybody as well from Locked On Bengals. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There are rumors that my mother will be in attendance. Ooh. I have not confirmed it quite yet, but there are rumors.
Does that mean I've got to watch my language a little bit?
I mean, my daughter will be there, so yes.
I swear in front of my kids. I'll try.
I don't care what you do, Joe.
I'll use church language.
You're a grown man.
Listen, we know what we are risking by inviting Joe Farsi on a live show, so we'll sleep in the bed we make.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pumped up. We're going to have all the usual cast of characters. We're going to have the pop father, Bill Lack. Myself, we're hoping for a little Carlos Guevara appearance.
We know he's going to be in town.
He's going to be around, so we'll do what we can. But all right, guys, let's get into this. So the format's pretty simple. I'm going to throw out a topic. We'll go one by one. You get to buy, sell, or hold whatever statement I throw out. Ready to rock?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with some current events. This one is probably the most important one to me heading into this live show weekend. We'll start with you, Joe. Buy, sell, or hold. We will see Joey Votto in the lineup on September 9th.
I'm going to go with sell. They like to only because the Reds like to throw everybody on a rehab stint, even though a lot of teams are doing away with that, and I think it's kind of dumb. The Reds send everybody on rehab stints, and there hasn't been a hint of anything about him going down to Louisville to play some games. I would love to see it. I would be excited as hell. Might be, you know, my last chance to see him in a Reds uniform. Definitely your last chance to see him in a Reds uniform, but I don't see it.
I'm going to buy. I think that one, he definitely wants to be in the lineup on his 40th birthday on Sunday. So I think that that is the step to it. And, you know, I do agree with Joe. Like, obviously the Reds are very, very big on rehab assignments. But, you know, he's with the club right now. And I think that, you know, the game plan was always as soon as they can get him off the IL, he's going to play. And I think he's going to push for it. And so, yeah, I think we will see Joey Votto this weekend against the Redbirds.
I love it. I, too, am going to buy that. Thank you, Joe's reasoning. It's awfully darn sound. But I'm just going to hold out the hope that the reason we scheduled this live show for this late in the year has less to do with it being a 500th episode and more to do with the fact that we just really wanted a chance to see Joey, make sure he was back. So fingers crossed that happens. I have a feeling that once he's ready, he's going to push to stay on the roster. He's potentially auditioning for his future these last few weeks, and I don't think he'll let any time go by. So we got two buys and a sale on that one. Next up, more current events. At some point in 2023, we will see a rotation of Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft, Andrew Abbott, Brandon Williamson, and Connor Phillips. I wanted to throw Nick Lodolo in that spot, but we are definitely selling that possibility. So we'll go through the next 5 men up. We'll start with you, Tim. Will we see what is probably the Reds' best 5 starting pitchers in the organization right now lining up in succession in 2023?
No.
I'm okay, sorry. Moving on.
Yeah, you know, with Graham Ashcraft's injury, I don't know how it's going to, you know, how he's going to be able to come back from that in a justifiable time. And, you know, with this COVID stuff going around the clubhouse right now, it feels like people are just dropping like flies.
It's crazy.
I would love to say yes. I can't see a scenario where it pops up.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with that. Joe, what do you think?
Hard agree on that one. Again, this team has had a ton of weird, fluky injuries. And then this past week happened, and there were 19 transactions that the Reds had to make within a 33-hour period, I think. They actually put it kind of snarkily on Twitter, and they listed all 19 transactions with guys going on different lists and rehabs and being DFA'd and everything. You might see some of those 5 back at some point before, you know, all those 5 in the rotation at some point before the end of the season. I just don't see them as those 5, you know, specifically. Plus, I don't see Ben Lively's name anywhere.
You know what? I almost put Lively in that Connor Phillips spot just to, you know, give him credit for all the work he's done this year, but that's not as exciting. I'm sorry, Ben Lively. I'd love to drink a beer and smoke a cigarette with you after the game, but less exciting. I'm also going to sell this one. If Ashcraft wasn't on the IL, then I think there would be a chance. Connor Phillips, somewhat heralded Reds prospect, is making his debut tomorrow or today as y'all are seeing this. And if Ashcraft was not on the IL, then that might be the way things lined up. But I'm just not optimistic. So I hope so. I'm going to sell it. But if it does happen, I'll be a happy young man. All right, so let's go slightly further into the future, and let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Joe, the Cincinnati Reds will finish this season with a winning record. Buy, sell, or hold?
I'm going to buy.
My man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the more skeptical you know, especially, you know, among the three of us, I'm easily the most skeptical and pessimistic.
You? No.
Surprising, I know. But this is a team that has overcome so much crap. I mean, what are they, 4 games over right now?
4 games over, 72 and 68 as of recording.
Yeah. And I mean, they've got a soft, you know, they've got a soft landing. Again, after this, you know, after these games, the only other team above 500 that they play are the Twins, and the Twins aren't exactly
barely, you know, above
them. Yeah, they're not exactly challenging the all-time wins record. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's much stronger than much stronger possibility than anything else. They're going to finish above 500.
Okay, I love it. Optimistic Joe's a first time appearance on this show.
Wow. Everybody, this is a moment in history. Clip that for TikTok.
Yeah, calm down.
Yeah,
Tim, buy a cellar hole. What do you got?
I'm buying, man. If you like, you know, I talked about it earlier. Joe just mentioned a second ago. If you look at the schedule, they don't play another team above 500 on the road this year. And look at those home road splits. The Reds are a better road team record wise than at home. If you look at what they have left, you know, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Cleveland. There's no way that they don't have 10 more wins in them. There's just no way.
Pittsburgh and St. Louis, gross. Can't think of two nastier franchises.
Tell me about it.
Turterers, bro. Just made that up. You're welcome.
I really like that. Yeah, I dug it.
It's good.
I am also going to buy this one. This is the hardest of all the buys. The team is, I don't know, didn't you just hear the intro? The Fun Reds are back. They're about to get hot again. They're about to go on a tear. We're going to laugh that we even had to ask this question in a few days, maybe a couple weeks. So go Reds. Tyler Stevenson's put the team on his back. And the Reds are going to march to an above 500 record.
This is our in-sync round because we went bye, bye, bye.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. All right, Tim, you are promoted to czar and overlord of the riverfront because that was awesome.
Cool. Sorry, Joe.
I'm cool. I'm aboard with the promotion. I just the reference is just
this front room. It's administration. All right. Next buy, sell, or hold. We'll go back to you, Tim. The Reds will not only finish with the winning record, but they will make the playoffs.
Bye. I'm in.
Woo!
I mean, they basically extended the wild card for teams like the Reds, right? Like, this is like in the NBA how 16 teams make the playoffs now. So, yeah, they, you know, look, 2021, that team's in the playoffs and we have the current playoff format. So, yeah, they're probably going to Atlanta round one, which is not going to be fun, realistically. They could pull it off. Who fucking knows with this team, how they do things. But, yeah, I think, you know, Miami's dropping out. I think San Francisco's going to drop out. And that leaves the Reds, the Diamondbacks, the Phillies, and the Cubs. Now, granted, the Diamondbacks do have two Rocky series, which is not fair, but I still believe in the Reds over them.
Love it. How about you, Joe?
I'm going to go on hold right now just because tell me what the rotation looks like in a week. If most of the guys are back, which they should be. Again, I haven't heard really much about Ashcraft's toe. I mean, I know he had the MRI right after the game, but sorry, I had a net fly right in front of my face and at the end. I'm not having
spasms. You're making points here. I love it.
Right. But I think if Green, you know, if Hunter Green's back, if Williamson's back in the rotation, if, you know, Lively, you know, again, say what you want about Lively, but I mean, he's so far overperformed what you expected. And, you know, and he's eating innings. He's, you know, he's getting through five innings when, you know, you wouldn't expect him to get through three. If those guys are back in the rotation within a week, then I would definitely buy, but right now it's hold. I think they're in a good position. I think they're a better all around team than the Diamondbacks. And yeah, the Marlins and Giants are about to, you know, fall out. Cause Marlins, yeah, they've got just a ridiculous stretch coming up to the end of the season.
Yeah, real tough.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no one did them any favors when they. Well, I mean, I guess they didn't expect them to be where they are, but man, it's crazy.
And the Rocky, I mean, the Cubs get a Rocky series too. What the shit? Balance schedule my ass.
Well, see, they're the Cubs, and what's their history? Their history is cubbing and just shit in the bed. So it's not inconceivable that they crap their pants.
True.
I would love to see all of them crap their pants.
Yes. Actually, Bradley grabbed his pants in a game once.
It's true. Paul Pierce, maybe. We don't know. Inconclusive. I am going to buy this because I have to, man. I just need the Reds to make the stinking playoffs. We talk about it all the time. You never know when your next chance is going to be. We feel really good about the future of this team, I think. I think all three of us are pretty big fans of this young core, but you just don't know. And it's only happened 6 times in my life. So I'm going to say that I'm buying this because we're this close. And it seems like there's a little bit of a spark right now. I'm not saying it's smart money, but smart money don't make money.
Scared money does, though.
Scared money do. All right, next one. After 162 games, and we can probably blow through this one pretty quick, we are going to look back and say that this season was a success. Joe, start with you.
If you were to ask me in April if they were in this position, like you told me that they would they'd be in this position, I would have first thought you were drunk and crazy and would probably call some sort of mental health specialist to take you into some inpatient unit. Yeah, I mean, this season's been a success. It'll be a letdown if they don't, you know, if they don't make the playoffs because, you know, they've got so close and they were in position and due to circumstances outside of the players' control, they, you know, didn't do everything possible to, you know, to put themselves in the best position. But, yeah, I mean, this season's, I think, is a success. I mean, they brought up all the rookies. They got rid of, I mean, they cut bait on Will Myers. That, you know, they cut bait on Kraft that's holding them down, and that's and you know, and they've still been winning despite all that. So it's, yeah, this season's a success.
Okay, like it. Tim?
Yeah, I think I do definitely think the expectations obviously changed after the 12-game win streak. But big picture, yeah, it's a success.
Yeah, I agree. Joe touched on something that I did want to bring up. The only real argument against it would be that it, especially if they sort of falter a little bit and don't make the playoffs, that the fact that they did so little to improve the team when they had the chance at the deadline, then you could look at it as almost detrimental. You missed a chance to not get these young guys playoff experience. I don't know, but that's the only argument I can think of against it. I do agree with you guys that no matter what happens, this season has been so much fun. One of the most likable Reds teams of my lifetime. I think this has been a resounding success. But we'll see. If they lose the rest of the games from here on out, I will smash a tall glass of bourbon and feel a lot differently, I'm sure. All right, let's look slightly further down the road. I got some questions that I'm interested to get your all's take on. First one, TJ Friedl is the long-term center fielder for the Cincinnati Reds. Buy, sell, or hold? And I'm going to say long-term means 3 seasons after this one, at least. How about that? That's a long time to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell strictly because I think he is, like, right underneath his ceiling. I think he's great. I think he's been awesome for this team. I'm sick of his bunting at times, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's very, very fun. You know, it's like the Larry Bird no, yes shot. It's like what I consider TJ Friedl's bunts. Yeah. But, you know, how much better is TJ Friedl going to get? And I think that's kind of the question you have to ask there. And that sucks because I think he's been, you know, a revelation for what this team needed this year. But I don't see any way where it's like maybe you get through arbitration with him and that's it.
All right, Joe.
Yeah, I pretty much have to echo everything that Tim said. He's pretty, I think he's at his 90th percentile performance right now. I mean, this was a guy that was undrafted when they, you know, when they had a much fuller draft. He's been spectacular defensively. He's got a lot more pop than people expect him to have. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing him wear down as the season goes on. I you know, the Reds have so many middle infielders coming up and they're going to end up getting moved to different positions. So yeah, I think 2024 might be his last season as a primary, you know, as a regular, maybe 2025 back into maybe platoon or something like that. And I think, you know, he'll be gone by, you know, an afterthought by 2026.
Yeah. If we're looking at it right now, I mean, TJ Friedl has a 760 OPS, and that was with a super, super hot first half of the season. So he's come back down to earth quite a bit. I'm a huge TJ Friedel fan. So I'm going to sell this also, but I would like to leave some room available to reverse course in the future because he's just the kind of guy I like having on the team.
Sure.
If he was willing to come and just be a more of a utility role, granted that wasn't the question, I would be thrilled. I would love to see that guy in the red and white for a long, long time. But I think kind of jumping the gun on a question I'm going to ask here in a minute, center field is definitely a spot that the Reds need to be addressing in the offseason.
Yeah, so I think he's like Ryan Friel without the CTE.
Yeah. But
just a fun guy to have around. Did, you know, a lot of useful things, but he's not someone that you really want to be out there 140 times, you know, 140 games a season, because there's just a ceiling on, you know, he's not just has a, you know, hard ceiling on him that he's just not going to be a all-star caliber guy. Yeah. And there's a fun guys to have. Those are fine. You know, you have four or five guys like that on your team and you're doing well.
Yeah, that was why we were lobbying so hard for him to make the all-star game this year, because it was most likely his best and only shot. But hey, prove me wrong, TJ. I would love to be wrong on that. All right, moving on. Buy, sell, or hold. The Reds will make at least one splash in free agency. Emphasis on the word splash. I don't want to hear this little like random throwaway retread, guys. It's got to be a stud. Joe, bat lead off.
Well, I mean, when you drop a big turd, sometimes there's a splash, and I think that's the splash that we're probably going to get from the Reds.
There's the Joe we know.
Is that a reference to cutting Mike Moustakas dropping a big turd?
There is zero reason why they can't go out and, hell, throw $500 million out, you know, at Shohei or whatever, you know. They have so much, I'm going to say room, there's no salary cap. They have so little money tied up in the future. But when Mike Moustakas and Nick Castellanos are your two biggest, and Castellanos was great in 2021, but when those are your biggest free agent contracts ever and they were $16 million a year, you've got a better chance of winning the lottery than you do laying money on the Reds signing a top 20 free agent this offseason.
I don't like it. I've been hearing on Reds Twitter that they're going to make the team better this offseason, so we'll see. Tim, what do you got?
I am buying.
Woohoo.
I think that, you know, Joe referenced the Castellanos and Moustakas deals. And, you know, the year before that, if we go back to 2019, they made that big trade and obviously didn't work out, such is life. But holy shit, my cat just jumped in the room, scared the hell out of me. Oh my God. But back on track here, I think they're going to do something. Starting pitching out there is pretty solid for this free agency. And I'm all for, you know, Cody Bellinger's only got a 1 year deal with the Cubs. I'm all for, so he doesn't kick our ass, just putting him on our team, you know?
I love it. I love it. I'm going to hold. I was leaning towards sell just because I have a hard time believing that the Castellanos are going to do the right thing. That's no surprise to anybody that listens to this show with any regularity, but I want to stay a little bit optimistic. I think that the way this season has kind of unfolded, it would be criminal not to address the serious, serious holes in this lineup and rotation. So I'm going to hold for now with serious hopes that they make a move, they do something. Buy, sell, hold. John India will be a Red in 2024.
Sell.
The floor is yours.
Love India. Absolutely love him. There's no place for him on this team anymore. I hate it.
All right,
Jeff. I hate it. I really do, because I think he's, you know, I think he's been a great leader. His rookie season was so much fun. I just can't see a place for him with McClain and Ellie and all these guys.
Yeah. Joe?
Yeah, and his ceiling, I think, was 2021. last 2 years. Yeah, he's had a lot of injuries and everything, but he also wasn't a guy who tore up the minor leagues either. So, A, he doesn't have, you know, he's out of position, and he doesn't have the versatility. I mean, he's not a good defensive second baseman. I don't think he's got the arm to play third base, and, you know, he's never played outfield. My knowledge, he hasn't played outfield in the minors, or I don't know if he even played in college at some point. So I don't know if he doesn't have a spot to go, and his ceiling is so much lower than any of these guys that are coming up. So I think it's – I'm not going to say it's a definite sell, but I'd, at the very least, somewhere between sell and hold that Adobe traded.
All right, well, I'm going to buy that he is a Red next year, and that is because you guys both went sell. I don't want this to be the most boring show ever. I think there is a world where he comes back and plays for the Reds for a month or two before getting traded some point next season. I think trading him right now is not going to be – you're not going to get maximum value for a guy like him. If he can come back and set the world on fire and lead the Reds to a playoff spot, that would be great. Get that value up, but I'm just not sure. So I think that they'll give him a little bit longer – rope than we would, I think, any three of the three of us would if we were running things.
Yeah,
but we'll see him again for at least a little while next year. All right, moving on. This is the one that hits home the most, and we'll start with Brother Tim. Buy, sell, or hold. Joey Votto will play for the Reds in 2024.
I'm gonna buy for all the exact reasons I said I was gonna sell Jonathan India. You know, obviously it looks like first base is probably CESs for the future. But, you know, if you go into the offseason, the conversations you heard with the media between Joey and Nick Kroll, both were like very much like, hey, like this is where I want to end things, where I started, where I want to end it here, you know, and that was mutual. So do I think they're going to pick up the $22 million? No. Would I? Yeah, honestly, I would. I think that he was, you know, he was a above average hitter when he was healthy this year. You know, I don't give two craps what his batting average said. I know that he hit tanks this year. And look, this team needs veteran leadership. I know I got shit for this a couple weeks ago saying I was, you know, managing with my hearts when I had this conversation on Late Night Reds. But if you think about this realistically, let's say Joey moves on and they don't go get somebody in free agency. Who's like the go-to guy? Who's the like things aren't going well? Who can I have a conversation with on the bench guy? Like Tyler Stevenson? You know,
no.
Did they keep Jonathan India? Is he that guy? Also, look, Joey Votto needs to break the home run record for the Reds franchise, which it needs to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Joe, what do you think?
I'm going to lean towards buy only because we know that Castellini is someone who is, at least traditionally, very loyal and doesn't like giving up fan favorites. That's why Billy Hamilton was around so much longer. I think they find a way to take the option, you know, the player option or, you know, with the team option. What is it, 22 million?
22 and a half, I think.
Okay. And find a way to leverage that over two seasons. Because I mean, they're already paying him $7 million to decline it. So $15 million, you know, over 2 years, $7.5 million for someone who's worth it. I mean, that's less than what? Less than one WAR. I mean, the average or the value of one WAR is, what, eight? Somewhere around eight, give or take. And you're going to get over, you know, you're going to get one WAR in value from him. His BABIP this year is 206, which is ridiculously low. Isolated power, you know, his isolated numbers 259. I mean, he's absolutely killing the ball. Yeah, you would like him to make a little more contact because that's Joey Votto we're used to, but he kind of foretold this. Like when he, you know, he will have to change his approach as he gets older. And yeah, he has to sell out more for power, which means more strikeouts. He still takes walks. He's still a valuable player. And as a left-handed Joseph, I love those guys. Let's keep those guys around here. I mean, it's sentimentally, why I, you know, can't let that guy go. Cannot let
that guy go. For life, baby.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Love the vibes I'm getting from you two right now. I'm also going to buy this. I think they would be insane not to keep him around. I don't want to hear any crap about him being too expensive. They have the money. Hunter Green is the only player under contract for next season. Obviously, they have arbitration salaries they got to dole out, but ask him what he wants and write the check. I mean, Joe is he's a reasonable guy. At least we have every reason to believe that. If he wants to stay for 1 year, then you pick up the option. If he wants to stay for multiple, then work out a deal like Joe just talked about. You need that kind of veteran leadership, and we know we have the evidence that he provides that veteran leadership. Mm-hmm. There, you see him on the bench talking to the guys. You hear the stories about him on the plane saving Will Benson's career. Look around the league at team DHs. Look at the guys who are playing 5 days a week and maybe a couple spot starts at first base. Like, how many of those guys are better than Joey Votto?
Not many.
Very, very, very few. So I get loving the young guys and wanting to see them take at bats, you know, 162 games a year, but that's not something that happens. It's not realistic. And you still need Joey Votto. The Reds owe it to Joey Votto.
To go see, I look at
let him break that record.
Votto was drafted as a catcher. I say go back behind the plate and spell Tyler Stevenson a few games. Why not? He can't be worse defensively.
All right. So we
bring back local Luke.
Yep. Bring back local Luke. Yeah, bring back local Luke. I'm on board that train now. Next question. Buy, sell, hold. Luke Maley's a Red next year.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. We're all buying. Love it. Keep local Luke until Alfredo Duno is.
Do we need to do the wave when we all do the bye though?
You gotta bust out dance move next time.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah. All right, the last buy sell hold for tonight. The Reds will lock up more young players to long term deals the way they did Hunter Green, the way the Braves have done with their young core. The Reds are going to do the same. Joe, buy sell hold.
They talk about wanting to be the Rays. They need to put their money where their mouth is, but I do think that they will at least lock up one player, you know, maybe two. My fear is it's going to be like the wrong player, like Lodolo, who unfortunately you need to see him. He needs to be on the mound before you can put any legitimate money on him. But yeah, I think that they're going to explore that. And that's, again, that goes with my, they're not going to spend money on the free agent market because they're going to, and you know, put money in this way. So,
all right. I buy. Like it. Tim?
Yeah, I buy. I do believe that they're going to go that route. I think that they're at least going to try to do something with Ellie through arbitration. Obviously, with you know who his agent is, that can make things a little tricky. But I think if they can at least know that they can get 6 years out of him, they're going to do everything they can to make that happen. One, obviously, he's not even close to his ceiling. Two, we know the fans really, really like him. And, the, you know, they like to sell tickets for people with fan favorites, like Joe mentioned earlier. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm also going to buy this. I would have probably sold it had they not already done this with Hunter.
Yeah.
They've given us a little bit of hope. I can see them doing it to Matt McClain being one of the first ones.
Please, 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 please.
Is that kind of guy that Cincinnati's always gravitated towards. You'd love to see him around. It wouldn't break my heart to see them try to get something done with Spencer Steer. Obviously, all these deals will be different. And yeah, even the Ellie thing, I think they 100% have to at least approach Ellie. One thing, we all know Scott Boras is his agent. But also, if the player comes and says, get this deal done, the agent has to get the deal done.
Yeah.
So there's control. They signed Ellie De La Cruz for, I think, $65,000. So we would be talking about generational, multi-generational wealth that he and his family and kids and their kids will never have to work again. And look at Ronald Acuna Jr. for Atlanta. You know, there's precedent there. So we're all buying that. And I hope it gets done soon. I don't think they even need to wait till the offseason. Just start throwing them out right now.
Can we find a way for Ellie De La Cruz to get off of Under Armour and become a Nike athlete while we're at it? Because that's the way to go.
Listen, maybe he can become a Riverfront athlete.
Yeah.
We'll give him that big money.
Mm-hmm. You write the check, so, you know, that's up to you.
$2 a game, Ellie. Come on, just slap a tattoo on your forehead and let's go. All right, before we wrap things up here, let's go really quick. Roundtable predictions for the rest of 2023. I'll start with you, Joe.
I am probably the most cynical person towards Tyler Stevenson. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to say his hot hitting continues and he's going to finish with an OPS plus above 100. Right now he's at 92. Like he's been hitting hot the last couple weeks, and it's back to the approach that he was, you know, that he did the last couple years. It's going away with anything hard, and then pulling stuff off speed. And he's looked like the Tyler Stevenson we expected. So he's already at a career high for home runs. I'm going to say he hits another 4 home runs, and again, finishes with an OPS plus over 100. So
I like it.
I love it.
So Spencer Steer today hit the 20 home run mark. My bold prediction for the remainder of 2023 is the Reds are going to have another guy. They're going to have two guys after having this terrible slump of power for most of the year end up with 20 homers. Hunter Renfro's got 19, so. I'm kidding. Jake Fraley's like 4 homers away. So, okay, yeah, we'll go. The Reds have 3 guys with 20 homers.
Yeah, Rick has 15.
Yeah. He's got 20. Did you know he had 20 stolen bases? Where did this come from?
He's in the top 10 for outfield jumps. I listened to the game yesterday when they were talking about Harrison Bader's outfield jumps, and he was just outside the top 10. And Jake Fraley is in the top 10 in National League or Major League for outfield, for getting jumps on the balls, which surprised the hell out of me. I know he worked hard on his defense and he's pretty good out there, but if you were to tell me a Red was on that list, I would have guessed TJ Friedl.
Same.
So. I do want to say that my 100%. Preseason guess on your show, Tim, about Will Myers leading the team in home runs, I'm still holding strong on that. He hit 3 of them before he was sent out. He's going to come back and hit 18 more to finish with the 21 that I said he would in the next couple weeks. So
for the Marlins.
I love it. I love it. All right. My prediction for the rest of 2023 is that the Fun Reds are fully back. We're going to play some exciting baseball for the rest of the month. The Reds are not just going to make the playoffs. They are going to win a playoff series for the first time since Moses pitched in the Cape Cod League.
Bro, if they went into Atlanta and won, it would just feel like justice for 95.
Yes.
Yeah. So we call
Reggie
it.
Reggie Sanders would get into the Reds Hall of Fame, definitely, because everyone would forget about that.
Yeah.
I love it. You heard it here first, guys. All right, so that's going to do it for the episode. Any final thoughts before we go, Joe?
Again, I mean, this season's kind of – I don't want to say it's gravy, but, I mean, it's – I just want to see – keep seeing exciting baseball. It's still a fun team to watch. Even when they struggle, you know they've got it in them. You know, I mean, look at Friday night and the second game on Friday and the game on – the game on Friday and the game on Saturday – absolutely lifeless the entire game. Ninth inning comes and the Riley Reds wake up from the dead. Cubs had won 50 straight games that they were leading after the seventh inning, and they lose back-to-back games. So
I love it.
Keep rolling. Tim.
Well, this is the most exciting time in Cincinnati sports that I can remember. The Reds obviously making this run the wild card. The Bengals start, UC just won the Big 12 championship when they're in their matchup against Eastern Kentucky. They didn't.
Salty.
Oh, I you could have fooled me otherwise by social media. And yeah, by the way, check it out on the riverfront because we are awesome. Unlike other networks out there.
I love it. Thank you guys. Thank you guys. Stop it. Thank you guys for coming on. Thank you to everyone listening. Thank you to our friends and family at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. And hey, if you're in the area on Saturday, September 9th at 4 p.m., we will be at The Stretch. And we're going to do a little live show. And we're going to have a great time. And we're going to leave that live show and we're going to go to the baseball game. You can come hang out with us there. We got tickets today. We're going to be hanging out at section 146, 144. Ooh.
We're in the stacks area. Okay.
No, 144. We're two away. 146 was sold out. So
we're getting our Nicolodolo bobbleheads.
That's right.
Can we get a bobble leg?
I was going to say, knee brace included.
Yeah.
Oh. And if you do want to go to that game and hang out with us, use the code Riverfront on SeatGeek and get $20 off your first purchase. You're just throwing money away if you don't. So shout out to you guys for coming on and doing this with me tonight. Shout out to the Reds for playing good baseball again. Finally, I feel like it's been 3 months. And go Reds.
Ohio. Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.